Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. We have as our guest this evening, Lou Princess Aziz, pardon me, host of Keeping It Real, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern on this same network. We've been discussing, I noticed that many are focusing on the subject of trauma, but really we're focusing on getting a better understanding of how we operate as a human soul, as a human being, and how to improve upon that to go into a healthier and more productive future for ourselves and our children, especially our children. But a little housekeeping before we get started. I want to greet you, Sister Princess. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you so very much.
We're going to get started in just a moment, but I feel like I have to acknowledge the fatal shooting of Imam Hassan Sharif outside of New Jersey last year. Tragic situation, but the sobering fact of the loss of his life affecting his family and community in New Jersey, but as well, and others that knew him and were associated with him, but also with us as Muslims in America and throughout the world. These are very trying and difficult times that we're living in. And this death, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, we belong to Allah and to him we are returning, is just giving us a heads up, sobering heads up that we have to be more vigilant. We have to be more security conscious. We have to be more aware of the kind of environment that we're living in. And this program with Sister Lou Princess Aziz helping us is to help us to understand the dysfunctional conditioning that not just blacks, but people in the world were being affected by this conditioning, social conditioning, the fear, the environment of fear and instability. So we make dua for the brothers return to Allah, and Allah having compassion on the family and friends and community members. So with that, alhamdulillah, we're going to begin. Sister, what do you have for us this evening?
Well, the last time I was on, there was a comment from a listener that sparked me to do today's show. I wasn't able to air with you last week through, whatever went on. But so I prepared the when we were talking about and discussing and sharing the impact of emotional injuries, the long term, and how deeply the emotional injuries are to children, and what that impact looks like. One of the responses I got, we're giving them an excuse. You know, it's no excuse for bad behavior. We get that a lot. They're just disrespectful. They don't have manners. We understand what I mean, or understand what I'm saying, the typical responses that we get. And it isn't any criticism to the comment. It just indicates to me that more work needs to be done, and we're on my path. The first of all, there's so many things, it's so multifaceted, but that changing in your mind what you think you see and reacting a different way or responding in a different way is what we want to accomplish. What we think we see when we see a child misbehaving either at home, in public, or at school, we think, myself included, they're a bad child or they're a bad parenting. Oh, I used to think that. Bad child, bad parenting. Now I think, okay, that child needs a nap. You know, I discovered that when I had my own toddler that sometimes they need a nap. Sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes they are lashing out, or when a child is lashing out, well, first of all, this is what I want to ask. When we see a child lashing out and throwing a tantrum, is that behavior disrespectful? How do we feel? Is it rhetorical? Or how does it make us feel when our child is misbehaving, especially if someone else can see our child misbehaving, or children in our classroom if we're teachers and they're misbehaving? Is it disrespectful? Why is it disrespectful, and how does it make us feel, and what are we likely, how are we likely to respond to correct the behavior?
Good question.
Anyone like answer that's listening, that's an open question to the audience if they'd like to answer.
Well, what comes to my mind right away encouraging the audience to share their thoughts, what comes to my mind is the awareness that we have children, and these children have to be prepared to be social, to act in a healthy manner, what's called socialization. Process is not done early, then that child is going to be problematic, going to be have issues in properly relating. And oftentimes the parent, you know, with the anxiety of understanding that this behavior is not going to be acceptable, I shouldn't accept it in the home. Sometimes they don't think about that, but the world is not going to tolerate an undisciplined member of the society. That's why we have, you know, the police and mental health institutions and so forth for those that are unable to navigate the life in a healthy social manner. And I'll stop there.
Alhamdulillah, I'm glad you said that. Give me some segue into what I'm sharing today. So some of the typical things that we find children do that are disrespectful are talking back, saying bad things, hurtful things, being disobedient or just rebelling. And some of the typical responses would be, you know, how dare you disrespect me this way? This is my house. And in my house, you do what I tell you to do. You're not being nice. Oh, boy, I'm going to get you. Any of those things, from what you say to even pulling out a belt and giving the child a lashing, to encourage the child. This is our intention, is to get the child to behave better or to behave properly. Now, with that being said, that way of parenting and teaching, that's going to be a response because you've been disrespected. The class has been disrespected. I'm the mom or the dad, and I've been disrespected. And the child is responding or reacting because something in their world has happened that automatically shifts them down into the lower centers of their brain. So I want us to say this vision, if you can with me, if I had a PowerPoint, I could show you a visual. Something has happened. Some disappointment has come. So disappointment is the first one of the first bad emotions, great bad emotions that they have to deal with is disappointment, not getting what they want. So now they've got this package of an emotion called disappointment, and they don't know what to do with it. And it shifts them down automatically to the lower centers of the brain, and there is an emotional response by their action. There's no thinking in a tantrum. There's no thinking in a child being disrespectful and disruptive. We can agree. We can agree on that. You can't be thinking right. Based on, you know, what I've heard for share, we all agree that the child is not thinking properly. So when the child is in the lower parts of their brain, they only can use the skills available to them in the lower centers of the brain. So a child that's throwing a tantrum, or a child that's, let's just say a five-year-old who's you know, talking back to his teacher, he's already in the lower parts of his brain and has access only to the lower parts of his brain. He does not have the skill set or the ability at 5 years old to navigate from the lower to the higher executive part, which is why parenting is important. He doesn't have the skill sets. He doesn't know how to do it. He doesn't have navigating to do that. And he can't even fathom that this is what you do with your emotions. He's got this bad and disappointment. What do you do with it? So he shares that with the next adult that's in charge. Those emotions, everything, he shares that. He doesn't know. It is learning accountability for emotions, hopefully. So it's like So when they're, like I said, when they're in their lower parts, they behave as the lower part is leading, and that's the place where your emotions are and your, you know, fight or flight or freeze or fawn, those center of the brain. This is not because they're bad children. This is not because they lack home training or they lack good parenting. Although those things do seem to be plausible or believable, it's because they're learning, that they're still learning. And as adults or teachers, we are still learning. Most of us aren't aware of the different centers of the brain and how things present themselves. Most of us are not aware of how to bring our children up from the lower to the higher part. Like, it's evident because knee-jerk reaction is, you're being disrespectful. Get out of my class. I'm going to suspend you. I'm going to put you out. All those things, when we see our children acting in a lower place, it's our job to facilitate bringing them higher. If we meet them on their lower place, where they are, so now we say, I'm upset with you, you know, I'm going to spank you, reprimand them harshly, you're a bad child, you're not going to amount to anything, the list goes on and on. When we do that, we can agree that that's fighting. I'm an adult. I don't see it as fighting. I see me putting my authority on you and telling you what to do for what's best for you. This is what I'm thinking. But now we're learning better. I'm not facilitating that for you if I parent you that way. I'm actually leaving you with the bag of disappointment to figure out how to handle on your own. But that is one bag. The part of the brain that's responsible for reasoning and logic and regulating isn't fully developed until they're about 25 to 26. So they don't have the capacity to raise from the lower to the higher.
Yes.
We don't like it when children fight us. And we think it's an indication or we're proud when we trigger the freeze or fawn response from our children. We don't call it the freeze or fawn response. We say they're being obedient. We say, my kids are in line. You, or the behavior is corrected. You trigger the freeze or fawn response. They stop doing what they're doing. They actually stop thinking. They've not navigated from the lower to the higher. So they still got that bag of disappointment that they don't know what to do with. They don't even know that they should do something with it. It's just there. And then there's the fawn where I'll do what you say to avoid or to appease you. These are not higher brain functions. These are lower brain functions. It appears as though I'm higher brain functions because I am being cooperative and I am in line and I'm obedient, but it's not the high brain function. Kids and parents, they see the they see these responses as an indication of good parenting. Until we say what we're saying now, these responses are freeze and fawn. We know we're not going to take that fight and flight. We see the fight and flight, and we know that something should be done about it. But we accept the fawn and the freeze.
Question.
Yes, question.
And this is the reason for programming. How many of us as adults understand these operations, and how many understand that with a child with an awareness that it's developmental stages that this child has to go through, how many of us are aware that we have to show the child, we have to model for the child the kind of behavior, the kind of self-discipline, the kind of self-awareness that we want them to have? Question. And we do have a caller in the queue whenever
okay.
You're ready to acknowledge.
I'm ready. We can just get the caller now.
This is Bilal Abdullah, I believe. Welcome.
Yes,
take the name where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Bilal from New Orleans. I mean, from Skewers, from Muslims, Florida. Praise be to Allah.
Well,
Alhamdulillah. And I see Sister Brother Macklin and Sister Francis. Praise be to Allah that y'all continue working on this odd situation. So praise be to Allah for that. What I like to do is just a poem that I wrote. And I'm gonna give the situation. No, I'm not gonna give the situation. It's just some food for thought. The things to look at. Here we go. Al-Islam. We are human in its best form. Other gods and people, some are saved and others are reborn. This world can't beat the strong. Trials and tribulation, excellent for purification. Helping out so-and-so, this is so. Love and respect for the mission. Righteous in cities, people need help to improve their conditions. Just be careful and take precaution. It's the battlefield. The believers won't yield. Helping out so-and-so. We will eventually get upset. That's okay. We won't pass every test. Call on Allah. He will answer the du'as. Calm down, and you will stop helping out so-and-so. You aren't created to be stressed out, living what life is or should be about. Love our Creator a lot. Paradise on earth. Call community life. We're keeping God first. Helping out so-and-so. Misinformation. We have the Quran, the best communication. Self-education and mutual consultation. Less competition. Having sensible and relevant conversations. Helping out so-and-so. Raising a child. He or she won't be wild or foul. Obeying us. He's in a good environment. When we make a mistake, we seek forgiveness repent, and make amends, helping out so-and-so. Hospital visit. We all benefit, helping each other when we get sick, making it easy for each other. Like had brought us together, helping out so-and-so. Shopping for the things we need, a home of love and peace, fulfilling our obligations, paying bills, a joyous occasion, helping out so-and-so. A family affair, we all do have a share. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you, Bilal. Alaykum as-salam. Sister.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah. Your question?
No, just I wanted you, you know, whatever your response is to what he has shared or the continuation. This idea, we started off with the focus executive function, and that really just means self-management and being able, in particular, in order for us to engage in a knowledge application, we have to have self-control. And in particular, that means control of our feelings, our emotions. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. I do agree. What, I'm going to go ahead and continue on with the example.
Please.
Because it's going to give us more of a visual to see. So if we, as teachers and as parents, respond to the child at their lowest state, from our lowest state, we're not teaching them how to deal with that bag of disappointment. It will get bigger, 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 heavier, heavier, heavier. It doesn't go away once it's created. You will have to deal with it. It has to be dealt with if you want to have a healthiest life, the healthiest life, to say, hey, you know, the children are quiet, the children aren't out of line. The flex is, are you facilitating moving the child from the lower to the higher, recognizing that you are the only one that can demonstrate that to them? They actually see you doing it. They see you controlling your emotions. They see you not dropping out of executive functioning in your high brain or front brain and down into the lower of your survival brain. They see you doing that. You are leading by example. And then what ends up happening, let me just say this. Our job to train them, as you said earlier, to be social, to be able to be in social settings. We did not come here to be individuals. We are here to socialize. And it's important that we know what to do with our emotions when we're around others. And when we're in a group, it's very important that we learn what to do with our emotions. So what we're saying is that it's actually what the child needs, that we help them, moving them from the lower part to the higher part. That's what they need in order to be able to problem solve the next time on their own when they are in a situation when the world doesn't go their way. So what should we do instead of hurting them to get them to avoid or to not do the behavior? We parent that way. We learn to parent that way. That is, it was effective. I'm standing here on the shoulders of great, strong people. We all are, we all are to be here. So we're not saying that that was a bad thing. If we're learning what survival skills are, there, it's a great thing. We had to do, I didn't have time for you to learn executive functioning. That wasn't available, for us, for me to teach you that. I didn't get it. I can't teach you what I don't have. But now we can do it. And that's what we're doing. So it's our job
parents, teachers, leaders to facilitate them from going from the lower to the higher. Here's another thing. How can you take somebody from one place to another place if you don't know where to go get them, if you don't know where they're going to take them? You need to know where they are. You need to know how to go get them without going to get them, without meeting them there. And actually, you're not actually, as I think about it, you're not going to get them. You're actually summoning them to leave the lower and come to the higher, and you're giving them, and they're using the skills or using the steps that they're seeing you do. They're using them on their own. That is way more effective than disciplining a child into submission and cooperation. They willingly do the right thing, but the right thing is available for them to choose. So what do? When the child is acting out and the child is, you know, first thing you do is stop and compose yourself and recognize what emotions are stilling up in you. It's going to take time to practice because we've been taught a different way. What emotions are coming up in you? Anger, embarrassment, shame, all those things. Stop and compose yourself. We're not going to share those with our children in the best parenting situation. And so this is a journey. We're not at the best. We're getting better every day. I want to clarify that. But you stop and you check your emotions. Practice checking your emotions. It's likely that when they behaved the way they did or said whatever they said, you moved from your executive state down to your lower emotional state. So the child disrespects you. And when you're triggered, you come. It's just like a bang, straight out of the executive and pop down to the emotional or the fight or flight. So it's very, very, very likely that you seeing your child or students be disrespectful, that it activated a trigger in you. So stop and compose yourself. Pay attention to the emotions that you're feeling and deal with them. Recognize them before you react. It might just be like, I hear anxiety. I hear anger. I hear this. Hold on. Anger step aside. Let me figure this out, if you will. So you're not going to be able to move them from their lower brain to their higher brain if you meet them in their lower brain. It's going to be, which means I'm emotional. I'm upset. You disappoint me. I'm going to whoop you. This is a fight. And it usually appears to work because I'm bigger than you. I'm more powerful than you. You need a place to stay. You need food to eat. I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. So you need some people. Go ahead.
Question in terms of what tools do we have to help us better manage our emotions and to, you know, and in fact, remind us what the goal is. You know, if we're in our feelings, we're not looking at the higher reality of my interaction with the child based on my feelings and their feelings. You know, where in this problematic issue of them being out of order, where do I find the reminders and the, you know, awareness that I'm the parent and what that means in terms of my interacting with the child?
Okay. That's a great question, and it is right in line with what we're talking about today. How do we handle our own emotions so that we don't drop down into the lower levels of ourselves and our emotions, meet our child emotionally? That takes time, and it takes a lot of work. The first work is, let me go on, because we're going to get to the work, to what, well, I'll just say this. as we stated earlier, when the child has experienced something in the world and it's created the emotion of disappointment or sadness or whatever. We're just talking about the bag of disappointment. There are a lot of emotions in those bags that a person could create. So the emotional disappointment. If the child never learns to take accountability for their emotions, meaning own their emotions, their mind, for me to deal with, not for me to give away to someone else to handle for me. So that's what the child and a young five-year-old would be doing when they're acting out. They have these emotions and they're giving them away. They're sharing them. Emotions are contagious. So it's easy for me to catch your emotions. It's easy for me to feel what you're feeling, especially as a mother. It's so intense. So, what we want to do is increase our knowledge about how we are put together and how we operate. Case in point, if no one told you that spanking a child or talking ill to a child in order to get them to behave, if you've never heard why that's not the best way to parent, then you, or if you've never been told how to parent from an executive place, I'm going to slow down. I'm sorry. I get anxious when I can't find the words, so please forgive me. So,
not a problem.
It's going to take learning. It's going to take continuing to learn, be open to letting go of what you used to do, everything, how you thought things were, what they meant, and what they looked like. You have to be willing to just, I'm gonna let go of that and open up myself to figure out. I mean, just to learn something new. First, be willing to learn something new. Second, what you're going to do is learn as the child would learn. You're going to yourself be the adult, and then there's a child in you that's carrying these emotions. You're going to have that same exchange for yourself. Does that make sense? Case in point.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, no,
ma'am.
You had a
go
question.
Ahead, Kate.
I'm going to give an example of what that looks like so that I'm not encouraging us to, but I'm not triggering people to think maybe I'm not going to talk to myself.
What I'm looking at is what are the standards? You know, we've got an environment. You know, we're not dealing with parenting in a vacuum. We've got different various influences. And as you were speaking, I'm thinking about, okay, where's the help from the Quran, from Scripture? And I thought about chapter 31. The chapter is entitled Luqman, but it's like, Luqman's advice to his son, but is it that advice to his son is advice for the children, and there's a reason why it's directed towards the son in terms of how the social life is advanced and protected by virtue of the males, you know. The males advancing the social life, protecting the social life as a responsibility. And then I thought about how God instructs us, save yourself and your family from the fire whose fuel is men and stones. Now, that's advice to us in terms of acknowledging that the family life and its advancement and its good health is important, And we don't need a lot of help in terms of understanding what hell in our life means. You know, a child who's non-responsive to our instructions can be hell in the household. A child who has the spirit that I'll accept whatever comes after how I'm behaving. When a person is willing to accept whatever the consequences are for their behavior, you know, it's very difficult to manage a soul like that, to manage a person like that, because they're willing to accept whatever comes after their behavior. You know, even if it's unruly behavior, they're willing to accept the consequences. That's a hard task right there to deal with. I'm just bringing these things up in terms of the conversation that we're sharing. And we want to take our time, folks, Princess, if you will.
Thank you. So you, I'm gonna, and Lukman, yeah, that's the eye that comes to my mind. He taught his son through instruction. I was trying to find the eye, but having some visual issues. Lukman, behold,
yeah.
My son. By way of instruction, yes. This my spiritual son by way of instruction. Oh, my son, join not in worship. So goes further on to give the instructions that he gave. Instruction is, I looked up the word and it in Arabic, it's to not just to teach. It's to lead by example.
Yes.
Not just to lecture. It wasn't a lecturing. It was like his son followed him in the steps he saw his father taking.
Yes.
Not just, I'm going to tell you, you do this because this is what you're supposed to do. I show you what to do by doing the thing I want you to do the way I want you to do
it.
As, like you said, what are the things we do? Reflecting. We're going to have to do some self-reflecting. We're going to have to do what we want the child to do. When our emotions come up, then we have to look at that emotion. Look at the emotion, face the emotion. This takes therapy. I'm not a psychiatrist, but I do know that this part takes some self-reflecting, and sometimes that self-reflecting takes someone to help you navigate how to reflect
and
take accountability. So when you ask that question, that's a great question, because in order for us to do what we're supposed to do as adults, we too have to go and deal with the emotions that come up when we're disappointed and we don't get our way, because that's what that looks like. In the equation, it looks like the child is upset because the world isn't going their way, and a parent or teacher is upset because the child isn't going their way. So now there's a fight on the even ground about step right out of executive functioning, down into my emotions, and who's going to win? I'm actually, the parent, going to lose. I'm going to win in behaviors. It's going to look like I'm winning, but then I stunt you. But then guess what? You're going to stunt your children, your children's children, and you're going to keep stunting their growth. You're going to keep having children that are great at functioning on the lower level. They're great fighters. They're great debaters. They're great rebellers. They have all kinds of behavior that cannot fall to higher behavior. And
it looks like the lack of awareness, the not being aware of what the function of teachers and parents is. There's a function, and the interaction between the teacher and the parent is to help develop a healthy human being that knows how to behave in relationships, and because the world, you know, that's what the world is about. relationships
and
interacting
and with
interaction.
Point,
no, go ahead.
At one point in our history, it was not privilege for us to even think. And it wasn't a privilege for us to get past surviving. We didn't have the privilege to think and grow executively. But it was to keep myself and my next generation or those I'm in charge of alive, eating and breathing the next day. And they did a great job. We are alive. Remember, we're going to continue to grow. Now that we know more about how the brain operates, we choose to figure out how to operate to engage more of a front brain or a high brain and assess when we jump out of that. Both brains can't lead at the same time. That's another thing. You're not going to be functioning executively if you're responding to any emotion that's driving your actions. That's just not how the brain works. If you are, you may sound like a PhD, a master, myself included, I sound good. I can ring off a lot of words. But if I'm angry and I'm responding and disciplining in a space where I see disappointment, discouragement, and I use words to try to, bumper their travel along the way, That seemingly works, but we want to work better. We want to include everyone. That works. It seems to work for those that are good at fawning and freezing. But what about those whose automatic response is fight and flight? The solution will help all of them, not just those that we see to be compliant. We can recognize that they're not thriving as we want to prepare them to thrive. Talking back, we instead of seeing it as an indicator of bad parenting or bad teaching, we can see talking back as an opportunity to engage the child in learning how to express their emotions so that they can handle them better instead of throwing them on to others. That's the thing. Teach them how to handle their emotions. They're their emotions. Disappointment belongs to me. It came out of me. It's a part of me. As opposed to you are a bad person, you're a bad child, and I can only see you as good if you're behaving a certain way. You haven't taught me how to deal with disappointment. You've taught me how to go along, to get along. I will be obedient.
Okay.
So that I don't get punished.
We need to pause here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
We need to pause for a public service announcement. We've kind of gone beyond. So you're listening to AM 360's Not Just Talk. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, and our guest is Lou Princess Aziz, host of Keeping It Real on Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m. Eastern, and we'll be back after these messages. Stay tuned. Kind of lost my place here. Here we go.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics, with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
And we're back with more of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. Our guest is Lou Princess Aziz, host of Keeping It Real on Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern. And we're talking about, what are we talking about, Lou Princess?
Currently talking about how to, using the example of a child lashing out or misbehaving, we're walking through this, the example of that and how we can teach the child to better navigate their emotions, but more specifically how we're going to learn how to.
If I can ask, what's the end game? No, what's the end game, end product that we're that we hope to achieve? We've talked about management of the self and emotions. What are we hoping to achieve with a better insight into how we function as human beings and how to understand how certain behavior is not healthy or productive, certain interactions with our children is not healthy or productive. You know, what's the end game? What are we after?
Okay, so you said what's the end game? Like what would be, why would we want to learn how to evolve to the higher executive brain? Or I want to understand before we on what you're asking.
Well,
are we
let's go to where the rubber meets the road.
Okay.
Is this understanding to help us in what way? What is this information designed to help us with? You know, we've talked about executive function and emotions and so forth, but what do we hope to achieve with the sharing of this information? What should we be looking to achieve?
We should be looking to achieve growth, evolution, and most importantly, the true vision of what Allah wants for you as a human being. You don't have access to what that even looks like if you're operating on the lower level of yourself. What I, at the end game, I want to accept accountability, responsibility for first being a human being and then being a parent. I can accept the accountability and responsibility if I know what I'm being accountable for and I know what I'm responsible for. So the end game is to know, to learn who we are, how we operate, and then that will engage the evolution. And then we parent better. And then this would be contagious, I would hope. And then it would go on and on. We'd be a better people. Referencing the Quran.
Okay, I love that.
I
love that. Better parenting. Because that's how we started off. We just want to remind the audience. Yeah. We want to, better parenting means a better product. Okay, and what is this better product? I'm going to say a true human that knows how to relate properly in the world with people and other things, you know, how we relate to those things under us, animal life, the environment, you know, all of this is connected.
Okay. Well, here's what Allah teaches us in Quran. Glory to Allah, most high, full of grace and mercy. He created all, including man. To man, he gave a special place in his creation and honored man to be his agent. You can't be a lust agent if you're operating out of the survival part of your brain. And to this end, he endued him with understanding. So he's now telling you where to find the tools to be his agent in the part, the executive functioning part of his brain. And purified his affections, those are your emotions. You've dealt with your emotions so that they are where they need to be and they are not holding you down. And gave him spiritual insight. You get that on the way of purifying your emotions when you are dealing with them and you're owning them. There's spiritual insight that you get because there's going to be a conversation that you have between you and Allah. There's going to be a relationship between you and Allah with his word, over the word, by the word, if you're truly dealing with, ready to deal with your emotions.
Yeah.
And the knowing, so that man could understand nature, understand himself, and know God through his wondrous signs, and glorify him in truth, reverence, and unity. That's the end goal. So I want that for my children, but I have to actually want that for myself and strive to get that so that they can see me on the path of getting that.
Yeah.
But though we are created in the best of molds, we fell from unity when our will was warped. That's where emotional damage comes in and plays a part. We'll choose the crooked path of discord and sorrow and pain, selfishness and degradation, and ignorance, hatred, and despair. These are all products of the lower brain, of operating out of the lower brain. So what we want to do is easier for us to stay on the path of disruption, Mr. King. I mean, that's what it is, to see yourself and to make it easy to do. It's tangible. I can see that my emotions, they're part of me in this part of me, in this part of my brain, and that these functions are a part of me in this part of my brain. And so, you know, this is the way I think. If I can see how a thing operates and how a thing gets put together, I can better understand how to work that thing. So
yes.
Showing us how our brain works, it isn't good enough for me for sectors to say, hey, don't be so harsh in your judgments. For example, I mean, I'm going to say this. Instead of being judgmental and instead of placing judgment and lashing out at the child physically or verbally to get compliance as a child, what we want to do is learn how to see where they are and learn and teach them how can you teach a child to regulate their emotions? Number one, they don't have the tools at 5-year-old to regulate their emotions at all. Operating at the part of the brain that needs the work, that's doing the most of the work. Learning, they just don't have the functioning skills to operate at the higher level. So my hope is that I would share the picture of what better parenting looks like so we can be better parents. And the first person that needs to be parented is us, because this is new. This is something new for most of us. So you're not going to be able to do this authentically until you do it for yourself. So your emotions, when they show up, you feel disappointed. You go through the process of owning them, you know, dealing, you know, seeing them for what they are. I, it's out of my professional expertise to show or to teach about how we deal and handle with our emotions at this time. That's something that we're going to have to do in order to train them or in order to get them to a higher level. So if the adult can't
again,
stay in. Okay, go ahead.
Going back to the standards, when we look at scripture, particularly the Holy Quran, the design when properly understood, the design is to help us to be better people and to acknowledge
right.
that, you know, we're not functioning in a random life environment. You know, our social life is structured. Our human body, you know, we come to learn how structured it is and how
mm-hmm.
the functioning of our body is cooperative, how it cooperates, you know, the aspects of the human body, how it cooperates to maintain our life. And we know how emotions make us feel. Our forehead gets hot. You know, the blood pressure goes up, you know, kind of connected with a fire. So going back to what God says, save yourself and your family from the fire. There's things that trigger our emotions. And all of the life journey is in managing self, where our emotions don't get in the way of us making proper choices, and understanding mm-hmm. that we have a function in life. And we need to understand what that function is. God tells us to be servants. Well, since God is God, He doesn't need our service. So what's the function? What are we aiming for? We're aiming for being agents of improvement of not only our life. You mentioned that. It starts with us, but also improving the life of our human social interactions. Improving, you know, so, you know, being better human beings, being better caretakers of the neighborhood. Well, let's go back. Being better caretakers of the family life structure. You know, today that's being challenged because we're seeing so much influence of selfishness, me being put into the environment, and we don't see enough of the sacrificing for a better environment in the home, a better environment in the neighborhood. You know, we used to be connected with that. There was a connection where we understood as husband and wife, it's about the relationship. It's not just about me, what I want, what are my needs, my happiness. It's about the relationship that's designed to produce a better product than my wife and myself, to produce a better product to continue to serve this will and plan that the Creator is giving us understanding of. We really struggle.
You don't have to convince a person who's operating executives out of their executive centers of their brain to do that. They'll do it automatically. You don't have to convince a person operating on the executive levels of their brain to be a moral person. They'll do it automatically. Why? Because immoral actions come from the lower level. If you rise to the higher level of your brain, you settle those things that might make you sway. You're settling those you settle those things. Or this isn't a linear situation. I want to also say it's not in one place or the other. There are many different functions. It's so complex. It's very multifaceted. Of course, you can, you know, you are supposed to be able to switch from, you know, from the bottom to the top or from the lower to the high. But recognizing that when you're in your lower, meaning you're responding to anger, rage, disappointment, sadness, if you're at the lower, you're not engaging the executive functioning because they don't operate that way. The executive functions will yield to the lower because the lower has the responsibility of making keeping you alive in the event of threat, imminent threat or harm. So the system is designed to shut down executive thinking and engage the lower faculties, if you will. So just knowing that dynamic will give you the focus on your emotions and focus on how you deal with your emotions. They're not justified always in a way where you get to ignore them and say, oh, that person made me angry. That is you, me giving someone else my anger. But if I learned at 5 that my anger is mine and I need to get to know it to get to deal with it, it would have empowered me way more than having to be an adult, becoming an adult and then learning that belongs to me. Sadness belongs to me. Anger, frustration, all those things are mine. No one, okay, yes, someone could hurt you. Yes, someone can injure you. But what I'm talking about is the accountability factor that we should take when we're not in imminent danger. When the trauma or the injury is over, now there's time to heal. The injuries are there. The babies of anger, the babies of sadness, whatever comes out of bad experience. You've conceived those now. What do you do? What do you do? You have to do something with it. It's not going to be effective to say, that person hurt me, so now I get to be hurt for the rest of my life. My leg, I put a cast on it, and it healed. It took a while to heal, but it did heal. I did not ever want to walk around the rest of my life with a broken leg because I had the right to be hurt because of someone hurt me. You want your body healed. Your body healed. Your mind and your emotion and your heart can heal too with the same determination. And then recognizing what healing is and what it looks like and what the injury is. We don't know what the injury is. If you don't know, I'll say this. Yesterday, this week, I had mishapping with my contacts, my eyeglass prescription. So I had, it was all wrong, too long to get into. I rolled around from here to Arkansas with these contacts with the wrong prescription. And by at the end of the day, I'm with my daughter. She's frazzled as I've gotten frazzled, and I had no idea what the frazzlement was coming from. She says, Mom, you're anxious. And she recognized that I'm trying to follow the GPS. And she says, can you see? I'm having struggles seeing. I didn't even appreciate that because, you know, I'm about to gain the contacts. They should work. But I said that to say I didn't know that that was the source of the anxiety for the entire day. I need to stop to say, what is it that's causing me this frazzlement? I couldn't see, and when I couldn't see, I got anxious, and flight overtook me because I'm in places I've never been before. So all these emotions are running all over, and set the contacts out, and things began to get better almost instantly. So find out.
Well, you know, that picture, that's an interesting picture that's instructive. And appreciate you sharing that, you know, how our physical can affect our emotional. And I think vice versa. What do you think? But listen, before you respond, let's get this return caller in. He's been very patient. Okay. But Bilal Abdullah, go ahead.
Bilal. You know, in reality, there's so many points that leads to the fact that what it is, we want to be, what I pray for us all the time, we want to be the best servant of God that we can be. Study the book, the Quran, the tradition of the prophet, the independent actions of Prophet Muhammad. We take upon ourselves and we do as much of it as we can. And we have to realize that this is what Allah has for us. And if we do that, all the different powers and the potentials and the different things that we have in us to govern ourselves and to govern our life, it will be automatic, just, you know, just like breathing. So, you know, we could continue, you know, stirring up things in the pot, but the bottom line is you still got to come back. That's the deal right there. There's nothing else besides that. Study the life of Prophet Muhammad. Study the rise of Islam. Study the fall of Islam. Find out what happens when people leave on prayer. You find that out, and you find out life won't be all that difficult to you. Because why? You'll be open up to Allah teaching you, guiding you, protecting you, and you have all these different things inside of you. Where they have so much confusion and chaos in the world, you need your spirit will be arising above all of that. And you'll be the hound and conform and get some things done in life. But remember, it's a group effort. It's the souls of all the people collectively who want to serve God and feel itself accountable to God that make the life that, the true life that Allah wants for us. And we, look, just do that. You know, we can put things in different little categories, but the bottom line is that you're not going to be what I just told you. No matter how much you spend, spending this thing, it won't come out to be the same thing all the time. It still come out to be the same thing. You get all in, you get anybody you want, all intellectuals and everything. If they rightly got it, and the servants of Allah, they're gonna have they basically tell you the same thing. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you know, we all is incumbent upon every man and woman and child. You're obligated to learn our religion. And that's how you develop. You develop from learning and doing. And then Allah take you where He wanna take you. And that's to your global destiny. You go all the way back the Prophet, the Khalifa. And remember, the Khalifa also was the Prophet Muhammad was a progression. Understand the progression in your life and know that everything all right. You know, so praise be to Allah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
I can respond.
Yes, please.
My comments on that, yes, he's right. How do we get there to where we can actually, we say, learn what the prophet said, learn what the book says, do what the book says. What we're learning is that those things that we are accountable for doing are in a part of our, their functions in a certain part of your brain. And if you're not doing those things or can't do those things, it's because another part of your brain is running in charge. My hope would be that we can see it so easy that it's the practical application is almost a no-brainer through practice and unlearning those steps that got us here, that got us to a place where we were almost at a dead end. We really do need to turn back, turn away from some things, or move through some things. I'll do Allah and the Shaitan and move up from some things. So Bilal is right in that regard. The understanding of the progression, understanding takes executive functioning. So if we are stunting the growth of our children's executive functions because we've not addressed our own emotions that we haven't taken accountable for, then we're accepting after you hear the message, after you hear knowing that this, and you don't do what you're called to do. Mashallah, I can't. I will just say this.
Well,
I'm looking forward to sharing that. If I may, if I have time, if I could share an example of how your emotions can or your feelings can be misplaced and just misguide you. Just because you haven't,
yes.
You're not practiced yet, but I'm working on it. So
But I do recognize that this was an opportunity that I could have worked on it. But I'm so heck-bent on me being right in this situation. So the story with my contact, I'm going to go back. I got this feeling or this vibe from the doctor that he was listening to my questions, wasn't answering my questions. He spoke right over my head and then told me that the information of the questions I'm asking him were too complex for me to understand. Then I get the contacts that are messed up. I mean, they're messed up the way I can't explain. But my mind went away. I was so I felt betrayed because I was expecting a certain professional level of treatment from him, and I felt like I didn't get that. I felt like I was dismissed and disregarded. I made 5 appointments to go back and deal with these contacts, and each appointment I could not bring myself to go to because I didn't know how to speak to him. I was so, my emotions were, you know, this guy, he doesn't think I, you know, all sorts of things going in my mind. And then he messed my contact prescription up. Today I go in to get the prescription fixed after alhamdulillah. And I got my words together so that I can speak from, you know, from a higher place. And I ask him, I say, is the right eye for distance and the left eye for close? Yes. I said, oh, well, that's the problem. My right eye, it should be switched. And instead of me telling him, you got it wrong, I just asked the leading question. Anyway, the point I was trying to make is I had the man, I didn't even get to the point. The point is he still got the contact, something wrong. He got something wrong in this encounter today. So then when I go to the car and I reflect, I said, he may just be struggling with memory issues. That was the point I didn't get it to. That had I properly processed those emotions, I probably could have given more compassion and not seen from that lens that I was looking through, pun intended.
Yeah.
That's an example. Because I'm aware and I'm looking for places to address where my emotional babies are. That was a big one for me because betrayal is a big thing for me. And I felt betrayed. I felt like he did it on purpose. And more than likely than not, he didn't do it on purpose. He's having memory issues. And I can now show him compassion and I can engage with him with that compassion first as opposed to as opposed to what I was thinking before. Is what I'm saying. So that's why I want to share why it's important that we personally deal with our own emotional babies. We're not going to see what Allah has for us to see. We're not even going to be able to understand what it means to be a servant to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I recognize that even if I want to serve, I'm not a servant until I am in servitude, and you get there when you know when you're there. Allah tells you you're a servant. No body tells you you're a servant. No actions that you do tell you that you're a servant. Allah tells you. You'll know your engagement that you are a servant. Also, the gratitude. You said, what is being a better human being? Or what is being a servant to Allah? He doesn't need our servitude. Us being a servant to Allah is a blessing. And gratitude is one way to get to that blessing, and that is one of the weapons I used in figuring out the eye doctor. I just sat with gratitude and figuring out how to deal with these emotions, the emotions that I had, and they come all they go all the way back, like way back. And it wasn't his fault. I just met the guy. Yeah, I probably had good reason to feel a vibe, but I judged him and his intentions really based on my emotions that were already there before I met him.
Yes. I can understand that. And these are the struggles that we have in terms of being better human beings and in our improving improving our humanity. We are agents for making our environment a better place. You know, our home life better, neighborhood better. You know, and you know, we've been told that people need to see how good people function. It's important because there's so much a lack of knowledge, and there's so many what I would call retarding influence in the cultural life designed invite us to lower brain function. Last night I was reading with a group of Muslims, about 15 of us, reading the Quran. We've been going from Al-Fatiha, and we're in chapter 7 now. And we started with, last night we started with the 31st ayat or verse. And there's information given to us in Scripture. God talks about arrogance and the effect of, I'm going to call it the disease of arrogance, because he talks about how arrogance affects our capacity to think well. Arrogance will affect our capacity to think well. It diminishes that capacity. And this is a challenge of the human life. Not to take on an exaggerated sense of our value, you know, or disrespect the value of other human beings. Some time back, about the effect of empathy, not being able to see our commonality, is a real problem in terms of how we navigate in the world and how we find ourselves in interacting with other people. And this platform is my hope that you and I will share, and it's from a layman's, you know, what you have done in these programs is to bring forth information that is available to us in terms of how we operate human beings. You know, and we need to know that, you know. We need to know more how we function so that we can function better. We need to know, for instance, and I'll stop here. God tells us in Scripture, in the Quran, of our weaknesses. He says, you know, you're created, you're hasty, and you're forgetful. Now, if we're mindful of that, those two issues, then we can strategize a way to remind ourselves and remind one another of how we can manage and behave better. We can understand that being quick to come to conclusions or quick to act in a certain way, like what you've been sharing about parenting and quick to become emotional. Well, why are you emotional? Well, is it fear? Well, what is the fear? You're afraid that this child, by not respecting your authority, is going to be a problem not only in the household but in the world. And people are going to look at me a certain way, being a bad parent, you know? And lastly, there's a certain conditioning that African Americans have gone through. I'm an older guy, you know, I'm in my 70s. But I remember in being corrected, mama telling me, take them clothes off, because I don't want to mess up my clothes, the clothes that I bought you. Take them clothes off. And she would commence with a belt to correct me. And there was a whelp or two. And I've heard some people talk about how during those times, you know, mama will whip you like you were a runaway slave. You know? And it's that conditioning. The environment was such that conditioning brought us back to a better mind. Today is different. The use of corporal punishment violence is in an environment of violence and confusion. The standards that we had in years gone by, those standards are obscured with retarding language, social language, oppressive language, and an environment of, it's just a degraded environment for having a good human life. It's hard to be a good, balanced human being in the environment we live in now.
Yeah, absolutely. You had, what are we, in response to what you've shared and said, or the questions you've asked, when the Lord tells us what our weaknesses are, those weaknesses stem right out of a certain part of your brain. He's telling you that's not the brain that should be running because it's not strong enough to run for it first. He's telling us, we can see it in the language. These are our weaknesses. Those weaknesses are when the faculties or processes of the lower brain are running in the driver's seat. Arrogance is when you've got an emotion running the driver's seat. You've got some intelligence, and then you still have your emotions you haven't dealt with. So there's some kind of scoop of arrogance that comes out. And this isn't an overnight fix. You're not going to read a book and it get fixed. A love is personal relationship with all of us. And that's another thing as parents, that we can respect and regard our children's personal relationship with Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, outside of the fear that they may displease Allah. We can deal with that fear. That fear, in fact, that fear can't come with me when I raise from the lower to the higher in thinking. I the fear has to be dealt with, and it has to be dealt with on a regular basis. It's not going to die. It's probably just, I don't know how to speak about it so you can see it, but fear doesn't ever go away, or you being able to, okay, let me take that back because I didn't see that specifically in Quran, that fear doesn't go away. What I see is that fear can be conquered, that we have a way, we have a prescription to settle it.
They're varying fears, and understanding its nature, fear is important. You know, God gives us a conscious awareness. The early ancestors of man, the base development of spirituality was the acknowledgement that the thunder and lightning and other things that brought fear, mortal fear, to our consciousness was designed to understand our place in this creation, and it's evolved to where we as Muslims acknowledge that there's one God, there's one creation, and one human family. And it's important to have that foundation, because left to our own devices, that arrogance will cause us to think that we're self-sufficient, and we're not. And that's where the problematic issues of lack of empathy come in. I'm better. They're different. And then all kinds of harm and sin come into and disrespect for others, human beings, space and life and so forth, But the more we can understand ourselves, particularly in terms of the context of scripture, the Quran, I didn't realize that the history of the Muslim community is one to use the Quran to understand how we operate in ourselves, you know, our nafs, how that nafs functions well, and how that nafs or self is dysfunctional. And the Muslim community worldwide has a long history of delving into the issues of our human makeup, how we operate and function, and what's the best approach. And we accept that God's approach or God's guidance is the best approach to our human life establishment, you know, and that community life, you know, we're individuals, but we're designed to function and interact with one another in a community, social setting, community setting. And it starts with the family. That's the basic foundation of how we operate and move in the world, you know, family. And what you're sharing with us is that, you know, I said, well, the sister, princess is concerned about better parenting, because better parenting is going to produce a better human product for the future, you know, and we have to have that. It's really built into us, the social concern, the community life urge in us as African Americans has been there for so long, and now we have a better environment to focus on improving our social life. That's family and community life. But the individual, as you stated often, the individual has to know. He has to have the knowledge, has to have the information, you know, in order to produce the better product. It's not going to happen just because we say we want it, or it's just not going to happen without us practicing. And because of how we've been conditioned, it's going to be painful. But here's the thing about that. You know, we talk about trauma. Trauma has a counterpart in terms of God putting resiliency in us. We bounce back, you know. That trauma affects us, and there's a they're calling it grit now. There's something in us saying that I will not be overcome by this problem. Mm-hmm. I will not be overcome by these feelings. I will not be overcome because of this tragic thing that happened to me. I'm not going to do it. I don't accept it. And if we maintain, God tells us, if we maintain our innocence, there are so many things that he can give us in terms of compensation for that loss because of traumatic experience. There's so much that God can give us. And we see it in various human beings. A lot of people don't know the story of Dr. George Washington Carver, but he was brutally abused. I'm not even going to but Dr. Carver as a child was brutally abused by Caucasian races, Caucasian demons that thought that they were better. But God helped him to maintain his innocence. And look at the great provisions that he provided for himself and for the world. And there's so many other examples like that.
Right. Absolutely. And I want to also share or reiterate, we want this to be applicable. I don't want to leave anybody behind. I don't want to leave the fighters behind or the fleers behind. We need them all. We need everybody that's all kinds of warriors. We need them all. We need those that are hyper-vigilant. We need them all. Here's the thing. You begin do the inner work of your own parts. You welcome them. You get to know them. The world, you see better. You see differently. You engage differently. And then they don't make so much noise. They don't even jump in front of you. when you are wanting to function on a higher level. When you've dealt with pains of different shades, we'll just say the pain of disappointment or the that.
Yeah.
You've dealt with this as an individual. You look at it as an individual. It is significant. It does matter. It even has a personality. So get to know all the different parts of you. And all those different parts of you, you can't see, they represent in a certain that. It's certain emotional expression. Get to know them. Welcome them. Make them feel safe, which you're in turn making yourself feel safe, and you're reparenting yourself. You're parenting or parenting yourself. So another thing I wanted to say is what I just said is we can take accountability for our own feelings. We can show to our children. And realistically, it's going to look like you're taking the journey and they're along with you. It's not going to look like I get there and I send for them to come to me. At this particular stage of growth and development of the African American, it's going to be we doing this together.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to go as a parent now and, you know, and then run and send for my child. We're going to have to do this step by step. They, you know, and then she's watching me authentically grow each step. And there's some things that I wanted to share, but we'll share them next time. I've recently been
Can you give us a little preview, you know, an idea of where we're going?
Where we're going? Well, I think
in terms of the things that you say you want to share.
Well, yeah, I was going to share that where we're going. I'm going to get my master's in Islamic studies so that I can be more, so that I can increase my knowledge base on the speaking and teachings of Imam W.D. Muhammad, increase my knowledge base on Quran, Hadith, and Sunnah, and there's some other studying that I'm doing as well, so that will put me in a position to actually walk the talk, be in spaces to teach children at the age where they should be learning or can be learning how to control their emotions. Be in a position where, you know, where so I can actually do something and do more and grow the more, if you will. And I want to give all praises to Allah for that, because 5 years ago, I never would have, you'd have told me I'd have been going to grad school. I'd have been like, yeah, right. It was a done deal for me. But now
yeah.
I'm actually walking this walk and healing and dealing with my emotions. Some things are lifting, and what was being held down was something connected to my destiny, my purpose, or where I'm supposed to go. So some emotions that were blocking flow of energy to what I'm supposed to do in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm grateful.
Yeah.
I want to share with what I've gotten, because I've gotten something a lot, and that's what I've gotten is that working on those parts of me, recognizing those parts of me, and that they are, I'm not unique, it's to everyone, and me seeing Allah speak to that thing in Quran, I'm getting educated more. Yeah.
That's wonderful. And I just want to share that we should make, you know, there's a saying out there to stay prayed up, you know. We should share and remind one another that Allah has what we need. You know, Allah can direct us to what we need. So we ask Him to help us to be better human beings, to better serve His will and plan for His world and His people, and to come into better understanding of the application of His guidance, the application that that guidance leads us to in terms of seeing how creation is structured, how Mother Nature has a supported logic, that there's a creation supported logic that further instructs us. And when we look at the history of the human being, there's instruction there in terms of those individuals who understand that their souls obligate them. There's an urge in them. There's a dissatisfaction. There's a dissatisfaction in them until they get what they need to perform better. You know, we have to pray for one another, encourage one another. We have to model, understanding that we're modeling behavior, not only for our children, our household, but we're modeling behavior. You know, people are watching us, and they know we're different. They know we're Muslim, and there's always been Muslim watchers. That's how the Muslim community grew. People who weren't Muslim watching Muslims live their life, and they say, "I want that. I want some of that. How do I get some of that?" You know, and that's how the world goes. And we've got our Christian brothers and sisters and others. We have people who don't identify with a particular structured religious expression, but they're so, you know, we learn about them in the life of Prophet Muhammad. They were called Hunafa. Their souls naturally inclined to the goodness of life, to the beauty of life. They didn't understand the creator or how to serve that, but they were serving it in terms of them trying, being conscious of being the best person that they could be every day. This is Hunafa. They're not religiously, not formal religiously inclined. Consciousness, their soul, identify with them rejecting, you know, indecency and rejecting ignorance and wanting, you know, knowledge, better understanding of how to function in life. These people still exist. These people are still on the scene. So, any final comments? Go ahead.
I was going to ask a question. When you said modeling behavior, we need to model the behavior. I wanted to ask about modeling the healing.
Because
modeling the healing. Because the behavior is in the process of changing as we take steps to learn more about ourselves. And so that modeling of the healing, like I'm not going to get it right today, but I'm going to get it right. I'm gonna get better every single day, and it's okay that you can see me imperfect. It's okay that you can see me struggling and working to get better. That's something that's freaked me as a parent, and I still have to work on that because that monster that comes up, you want to do, you're so fearful about your child not doing, period.
What's important, as I see it, is that we see ourselves clearly as servants of God's will and plan, and that we're not. It doesn't help us to make ourselves a comparison with other people. What is helpful is us comparing how well we do today as compared to yesterday. That we take that focus on becoming better, but not comparing ourselves with others, because they got there. Like I tell you about these people that say life is not fair. Life is custom made, and the struggles that come on us are our struggles. There may be what they call the intersections where we can identify. Oh, you're experiencing the same thing. Yeah, but you're not relating to it in the same way. You got your own soul's experiences and context, you know. So So it's best to make comparisons with how well we're doing on the road to being a better human being. That's the best way to see things, rather than comparing ourselves to other folks. But we all got our different struggles, and
right.
our ability to relate to one another is very important. That's one of the biggest tests that we have, you know, to be able to relate to one another and see our commonality. Like God gives us a wonderful, simplistic way of seeing that. He says that, you know, I gave you laughter and tears. What's more common than that? What's more basic than that? The child comes here, can't say a word of Chinese or a word of English or Swahili, but the child can cry and the child can smile and laugh. And we understand it touches our soul.
Yes.
I'm gonna get this last comment from Brother Bilal, and then we'll have you give us the concluding comments. Bilal, welcome back.
Yeah, praise be to Allah. Yeah, Michael. Alhamdulillah. Look, I love the journey that Sister Princess is taking, and Michael.
Yes, sir.
I understand. You know, I have a good understanding of your language. Let me tell you something. Greedy man, let me tell you something. Greedy man Muhammad. Read with that man how he talk about himself and his relationship with Allah and what he went through. And then if you look at him and what he went through and what he's saying about what he went through, life would be very, very easy. Very, very easy. You say, oh, he did it that way, and it came out to be that way. Because why? The key to everything is what? That Allah is in charge of is control of everything on the land and the sea. Anything that you can think of, Allah is in control of that.
Yeah.
You know, so, hey, it's you know, look, serve Allah the best we can. And every individual got their own psychology. So that might everybody. Every individual got their own psyche, their own psychology. So you know, you got to put in the work, though. You have to put in the work.
Yeah.
You have to put in the work. You know, if you grown up and you can read and write, and you have done it, you have to put in the work. Then, you know, and believe me, Allah protecting the innocent. Allah is protecting that, just like he protected the innocent in our nature, that Christ nature, that innocence that we have in us. Allah protects the child that he said that he's coming along to. Everything going to be all right. You know,
okay, we're going to
have to. Remember, government took over the educational system, the business system, the culture. Remember that government took that over. And so just be careful when you're dealing in the education arena, too. Because why? Remember, government took that over.
Well, there's a word that says, for the law outside, what the man is to me.
Say again.
What a law in my society can do to me.
That's a good question. That's a good question.
I mean, when you can, I don't know, I want to explain what I see, what I'm seeing right now.
We've got about five minutes, Princess.
5 minutes.
Yeah, before they cut us, we get cut off. But we've gone over the overtime. 9:30 Eastern was our cutoff time, formal cutoff time, but we're on overtime now.
Okay.
So if you can take
this is what I want to share. If you could visualize in your head, for those of us that are listening, you have your right hand and you have your left hand. They're two different, and I want you to see the right hand as the right part of the brain and the left hand as the left part of the brain. No matter what the hands really do, I just need you to see that the brain has different centers.
Okay.
They do different things. So with the right hand, which is we'll say the right hand represents executive functioning. When it is allowed to engage, the left hand takes a second seat, a back seat. If the left hand is running ahead and it's the lower brain, the right hand takes a second seat. They don't guide the machine at the same time, and they don't co-lead. There's always a submission. One submits to the other. So with all of that vision in mind, I want us to understand where the lower parts of us are and the part and the children that birth out of those parts. The anger, the frustration, the jealousy, the hatred, the egotism, all of those things. And not just there's some things that come out of, you know, the children and the systems and the cities and so forth and so on. We can continue to operate after realizing that we should shift to the right. We can continue to operate out on the left. But do you really want to? How would you feel if you know there's a better way to live and a higher level to get to? And the way to do that is to go inside yourself, reflect on those parts of who you are, deal with those parts so that they don't show up in places where the best of you is needed and required. You can show up with the best of who you are and can be executively. You can receive information, process information. It goes in the place it needs to go, and it processes the way it needs to process. If you're running with the left side first, information comes in, it's processed as the left side will process information. And it doesn't have the same faculties as the right side. I'm just using this as an example because we're over the air. And just to say, just so that we can see that the two different parts, they do, of course, run concurrently, but I'm saying, when emotions are executive functioning is not there. So getting a child can't learn in the lower brain. We don't learn in the lower brain. We don't learn higher executive functioning in our lower brain. Period. So what do we want to do? We're beseeching Allah to show us how to be better people. We're beseeching Allah to show us who we are and give us the courage when He shows us who we are that we can accept those parts of us with love and compassion.
Yeah. Praise be to Allah. And in this journey that we're on for better understanding, you know, we have the Quran as a model of educating us. The narratives, the pictures, the similes, the parables, and so forth. The narrative language, the asking of strategic questioning. God questions us in a strategic manner, and how questions affect our brain. You know, how it not only affect our brain, you know, questions can affect how our spirit is, how our souls function. So we thank you. I'm looking forward to returning to this journey week after next. I think the 17th. No. I apologize. Next week, we're going to have Imam Ronald Shaheed in conversation. Following week, we're looking for Lou Princess Aziz to return to the Not Just Talk mic. We thank you, dear audience, for joining us. And we thank you, Sister Princess. I'm going to make a dua. Oh, Allah, we cannot manage this life for ourselves, not without you. Make our life what you want it to be, what you prefer it to be. Do not allow us to act on our own. Help us to act only in obedience to you. We hear and we obey. Ameen. Thank you, dear audience. Thank you, Lou Princess. Assalamu alaikum, everybody.